It's great to see all you guys today. And what we're doing right now is we're getting a little two-week life primer here at Venice called Life 101. And last week we talked about perseverance. Don't give up. We talked about perseverance. We talked about the life lesson, you cannot give up. Do not give up. And this week, the life lesson is wise up. See, to really make a life that pleases God, a life that has a growing relationship in Christ and really makes a difference in the world, we must learn to persevere, and we're going to need large doses of wisdom. The Bible says that wisdom is very important. In fact, it's this important. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. He says, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Getting wisdom, developing wisdom and good judgment is the most important thing to do. It's the most important life skill. Now, let's be clear about this right up front this morning, all right? Wisdom does not have anything to do with IQ. I know many people with extremely high IQs, but they lack wisdom. You can get a perfect score on your SAT and not have wisdom. You can graduate from the finest university and not have wisdom. So the question is, what is wisdom? Well, here's a working definition for us today. Wisdom is the ability to take truth and make it real in your life. Wisdom is the ability to take truth and make it real in your life. Now, as you might imagine, the Bible has a lot to say about wisdom. Here's what it says in James 3. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. And it's also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. See, that's the kind of wisdom that God possesses. God's wisdom is sincere. It never shows favoritism. It is peaceful, gentle, friendly, and compassionate. What we see in this passage is that real wisdom impacts our relationships. It produces good deeds and righteousness. See, wisdom is truth making a difference in our everyday lives. Wisdom is knowledge lived out. Today I want us to focus on wisdom and some of the choices that we can make that will result in wisdom in our lives. And if we will make these commitments, it will impact our lives today and this year and the rest of our lives and even into eternity. Now check this out in Proverbs 8, verse 11. For wisdom is far more valuable than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with it. There's nothing more valuable than wisdom. There's nothing more valuable, nothing that you need more in your life than wisdom. And here's one thing that I want us to determine this morning. Wisdom is a choice. Wisdom is a choice, and wisdom is accumulated as we make sound choices. Wisdom can be ours. Every one of us can get wisdom. Wisdom can be ours. So what does it take to wise up? Well, there are four choices that we can make that will enable us to have greater wisdom. Acquiring wisdom comes down to making four choices. Number one, to get wisdom, I must choose to respect God's power. To get wisdom, I must choose to respect God's power. Without respect for God, wisdom is impossible. Without respect for God, wisdom is not possible. The Bible says in Proverbs 9:10, fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Now, one of the things that you're going to run across quite often in the Bible is this phrase, the fear of the Lord. Now, that word fear means to have a proper respect for God. It's not that kind of fear like I'm afraid to make a mistake, or if I make a mistake, God might strike me with lightning. Or if I sin, or if I make a mistake, you know, my transmission might go out. It's not that kind of fear of the Lord. It's not what it means. It's a proper perspective of God. It's giving God the respect that is due to him. Psalm 111 verse 10 says, "Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. All who obey his commands, his commandments, will grow in wisdom." This idea of fearing the Lord or respecting the Lord is just simply to realize that he is God and I am not. So there it is, your quarterly reminder. There is a God and you are not him. There is a God and I am not him. Fearing the Lord or respecting the Lord, it's about awe and wonder, and it's about worship. We're talking about a healthy respect for God. Now, there's many things in life that require a healthy respect. There are things like electricity and automobiles and motorcycles, you know, powerful things that require a healthy respect so that you handle them properly. And you have to handle them properly because they're powerful. You must respect them or you will get hurt. Well, God is powerful. In fact, he's all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-encompassing. And so we need a healthy respect for God. True wisdom flows out of a healthy respect for God, where we learn who he really is. You know, I think that one of the reasons that we have so many struggles in America today is that we've lost our respect for God. God blessed us so much. And I think now we've come to this place that we think we're blessed just because we're American. But the truth is, we're blessed just because God is gracious and faithful and merciful, and no other reasons. It's just based on God's goodness. And I fear that if we continue to ignore him, his blessings may wane. And besides being gracious and merciful, God is just. Nothing slips past him. He knows what's up. We need a healthy respect for God. We need to know God's character. If we don't respect him, we will not care anything about his wisdom. And our wisdom alone is not going to cut it. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:7, "Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord, respect God, and turn away from evil." There it is in a nutshell, Proverbs 3:7. God is the creator of all life. He is your creator. He designed you uniquely. He is the expert on your life. So to live life at its optimum, you need the wise advice of the expert on your life, and he is God. To get wisdom, I must have a healthy respect for God, and I must choose to accept God's word. If I'm going to get wisdom, I have to choose to accept God's word. And by accepting God's word, I mean read it, hear it, listen to it, take it in, and accept it. And by that I mean do something with it. Live it out. Listen to what God says in his word and then obey. Now watch this. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 7. "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rains come in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand. And when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." I believe the key words of Jesus here are listens to my teaching and follows it. That is wisdom. It's taking truth and applying it in your life, making it real in your life. Jesus said, listen to my teaching and then follow it, then live it. That is wisdom. And listen, If you listen to God's word and not do anything, it's a waste of time. And that's unwise. See, what you listen to and what you hear is very important. And there's nothing more important than to hear and listen to what God says in his word. And God's word has an amazing track record. It's been changing lives for 2,000 years. So let me ask you this. If the wisdom of God's word has been changing lives for 2,000 years, why do we value other sources of wisdom so much more? I mean, we have many so-called wisdom outlets these days. And I'm not going to name any names, but we must be careful where we get our wisdom. God has given us this incredible gift of his word. Jesus said, you know, you can build your life on your own ideas or on the ideas of the world, and you might as well be building on sand. That's shaky ground. Only God's wisdom, found in God's word, will provide us with the solid footing that we need for our lives. The Apostle Paul writes in Colossians 3:16, "Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives." Let the message of Christ, let the word of God fill your life. Teach and counsel with the wisdom that he gives. You only know that wisdom by choosing to accept God's word, the Bible. You have to hear it taught. You have to get in a group to talk about it. You have to dig into it for yourself. And then you have to digest it and live with it. You know, my life motto is pretty much, when in doubt, or when all else fails, read the instructions. I mean, if you're trying to put together that entertainment center, read the instructions. It's probably a good place to start. If you're trying to put together that bike for your child, read the instructions. If you're trying to piece together a life, read the instructions. Accept the word of God. Don't wait for something to fail. Don't wait for doubt to seep in. Read the instructions. Now, here's a fundamental problem with our culture. In our culture, we want the high that comes from feeling like we did it ourselves. I figured it out all by myself. We're trying to figure out life for ourselves so that we can say, look at me, look at what I accomplished. Like, some of you have not figured out that you can't do life by yourself. See, God created us to be in meaningful relationships. And I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking about people in your life who know you and care for you, and people that you know and that you care about. God never intended for you to do this thing alone. He intended for you to do it with other Christ followers. When you read the Bible, you will see that life is always done in community. Accept the word of God. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 19. "The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. And they are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold, and they are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb." God's word revives the soul. God's word makes simple people wise. I can relate to simple. I'm simple. God's word brings joy to our hearts. God's word gives insight for living. God's word is fair. God's word is the greatest treasure on earth. And when we spend time in God's Word, we spend time with God. And then you can live in a way that shows that you've been with God. The real question is, from where are you going to take your wisdom? You're going to take it from the world? From Twitter? From a fortune cookie? To live with wisdom, we must accept God's Word. Number three, we must choose to invest our time. You must choose to invest your time. You see, we have a choice in life. We can spend our lives or we can invest our lives. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, God, teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Life is short. We don't have all the time in the world. We only have so much time, so we must prioritize our lives. We must spend time on wisdom to grow in wisdom. We must invest our time in wisdom. You know, I spend a lot of time reading. In fact, I probably read more than I ever have in my life because I'm reading stuff like emails and Twitter and Facebook and blogs and basically a lot of stuff that does not add wisdom to my life. And I do. I've got time to read all this stuff. I must make time for wisdom. You know, we live in a world where we're more connected, yet we don't develop deep relationships. We're busier, but we get less done. We have to prioritize. We have to invest time in wisdom. Now, please understand, and if you know me, you know that I'm not against any of those things. I think they're great. I got my dad on Twitter when I was at his house on Friday, and it's not a good thing. I shouldn't have done it because he doesn't get it, but my dad's on Twitter. If you want to follow him, it's at BobPRH. It's not pretty, but he'd appreciate you following him. I'm not against any of these things. I think they're great. But we have to be careful how we spend our time. To get wisdom, we must invest in wisdom. Check this out in Proverbs 2. Tune your ears to wisdom. See, that's intentional. You're tuning your ears to wisdom. And concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. And then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord. And you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. God grants wisdom. Only God gives wisdom. See, this passage shows us that wisdom is available, but we must pursue it. We have to search for it. We must want it. We have to make time to go find it. Nobody is born wise. You know that? Nobody is born wise. It does not come automatically. We don't ever say, oh, look at that little wise baby. No, we say, look at that wise old man. Look at that wise old gal over there. Wisdom comes with age. It's something that you gather and accumulate during your life. We have to go find it. We have to make time to find it. See, we find wisdom by wanting it. It begins with desire. If you don't want it, you will never find it. It doesn't sneak up on you and jump into your life. We find it by wanting it, and we find wisdom by working at it. Do your homework. Be in God's Word. Gather advice from godly people. Work at finding wisdom. In fact, here's a little assignment for you to get you started. Okay, on Tuesday, the month of March will begin. So for the month of March, read one proverb a day for the entire month. There are 31 days in March. Read one proverb every day in March. There's a lot of God's wisdom in Proverbs. Read one proverb a day. It'll take you like 5 minutes. That's the way to get started, to get after wisdom. Go after it. You want it, you work at it, and then you find wisdom by watching for it. Watch other people. Learn from their experience. Take their advice. Proverbs 13:10 says, pride leads to conflict, but those who take advice are wise. Watch, listen, learn. You know, Rick Warren always says that life is too short to make all the mistakes yourself. There are many wise people in Venice Church that have been down some roads, and they have a lot of wisdom, and they will share it. And you can learn it just by watching them. You can watch for it. Learn from them. They've already made some of the mistakes for you. And then we find wisdom by waiting. Wisdom takes time to develop. We want it instant, but it takes time. It takes time to want it, to work at it, and to watch for it. All right, and here's one more. If I want wisdom, I must expect God to answer. You know that one of the largest industries in America today is consulting? Businesses spend about $70 billion a year on consultants. If we're facing a big decision in our company or with our business, we consult with an expert. When we face a big decision in life or we face an important decision for our family, who do we consult with? Do we consult with God? Have we asked God what He thinks? I'll tell you honestly, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I get so busy with a cost-benefit analysis and acquiring facts and figures, and I'm in what I think is such a hurry that I don't consult with God. Have you consulted God on that decision? Check it out. This is a room filled with leaders. You're a leader in your family. Many of you are leaders in your business. You're leaders at school. This is a room filled with leaders. And if you're a leader, you need wisdom. You need wisdom every day. We need wisdom to make good choices and to make good decisions. And God is willing to give us His wisdom. Have you consulted with God on that decision? Look at this. This is so convicting to me. James chapter 1, verse 5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. And He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. And do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that's blown and tossed by the wind. And such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they're unstable in everything they do. Have you consulted with God? Is our faith in Him alone? Is our loyalty divided between God and the world? If we ask Him for wisdom, He will give it. And God is the one who will provide the wisdom that we can really count on. And here's the deal. God is not just a consultant. He is the creator of this universe. We have given our lives to Christ. He is our Lord. He's in charge. He's the CEO of our life. You know, I like what James says. He says, if you need wisdom, maybe just a tinge of sarcasm there. If you need wisdom. What does he mean, if I need wisdom? We all need wisdom, and when we need wisdom, we should first consult with God. And here's our problem. There's a couple things that keep us from seeking wisdom. Like, we let pride get in the way. See, I can allow pride to hold God at arm's length. Pride will cause me to leave God's wisdom at arm's length. My pride keeps me from consulting with God. And the second thing that keeps us from wisdom is doubt. Because we forget how powerful God is. And we doubt His involvement in our lives. See, faith and wisdom go together. And that means that wisdom is not found in a list of principles. Wisdom is found in a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, "But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." Jesus Christ is the power and wisdom of God. Wisdom is a person. In Colossians 2, in verse 3, Paul writes, "In him, in Christ, lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Do you remember that we talked about the search for wisdom? We talked about how it's a search. You have to pursue it. That pursuit begins with Jesus Christ. Wisdom begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is in Christ that we find all of the wisdom and all of the knowledge of God. And I want you to know that a relationship with Christ is available because of his death and his resurrection. You can have wisdom today. It's up to you. It's your choice. Would you pray with me? Father God, I will speak for all of us and say that we all need wisdom. God, we need your wisdom. We live in a complex and complicated and difficult world. God, we need your help. We need your wisdom. So God, I pray that you would cause each one of us to get in the pursuit to know your wisdom. And Father, we know that that pursuit begins with Jesus. And Father, I pray for those that are here today. Maybe they've never given their life to Christ. I pray that today would be their day of salvation. I pray that today they would turn from their sin and they would turn to Jesus, believing in his death and his resurrection for the salvation of their sins. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you want to accept Christ. Just pray this prayer in your heart. Just say, God, I know that I've done my own thing. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've broken your laws, God. I know that I've tried to be in charge of my life and run my life. And I want to turn from that today. I want to turn from my selfish life and my self-led life. And I want to turn from my sin and I want to turn to Jesus Christ today. I believe that he died to pay the penalty for my sin. I believe that he rose again to give me eternal life. And I put all of my faith and all of my trust in him today. And I will follow him for the rest of my days. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.